Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson in Outreach Ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you hungry for something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of 1 Peter, and we'll be continuing today with part 2 of Holiness of Mind. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Therefore, he goes on to say, gird up the loins of your mind. It's a term that had great clarity back when the Bible was written. Because what it was referring to was a person taking that long flowing garment that they were wearing that would impede any swiftness and girding it up around their waist so that they could be freed up to move, to act quickly without some sort of a hindrance. It's a metaphor for being prepared for action. That's what he's telling the believers. He's telling them to be prepared for action. And in this case, Peter is calling for mental preparedness. Or as the NIV puts it, prepare your minds for action. So he's calling them to gird up the loins of their mind. Prepare your mind for action. And then he says, be sober. Be sober-minded rather than being flippant. Be sober-minded rather than being mentally careless. Satan has launched an all-out attack on the truth of God and the minds of men. And we are living in the midst of a full-blown battle, a spiritual battle. That's really what it is. It's a battle for the minds of men. The prevailing philosophy today insist that there is no absolute truth and that anyone who disagrees is some sort of a radical fundamentalist lunatic and they ought to be censored. They're calling it now postmodernism, but that's just a term to describe a radical relativism. It's coming to us through all branches of government. It's coming to us through public education, through journalism, and through the entertainment industry. We are being bombarded by this philosophy that is anti-God, anti-truth. Now, I'm saying all that to show you how important it is that we as Christians gird up the loins of our mind. We cannot afford to be couch potatoes in this day and age. We have got to be people who are saturated with the Word of God, the truths of God. And that's what Peter is calling us to do. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Have a mind that's alert spiritually, not one that is dull or dim. And you know what happens as we give ourselves over to those other kinds of things, just sitting around being entertained and feeding ourselves with the world's philosophy? Well, we become dull spiritually. We become deluded in our thinking, and then we end up not really having an impact. So we as God's people, we have got to determine to have our minds fixed, set upon the grace of God. We've got to gird up the loins of our mind. We've got to be sober in these days. And really, whatever we're doing ought to somehow, in some way, go back to this whole thing of setting our hope fully upon the grace of God. Everything I'm doing ought to go back to that, to the glory of God, to the purpose of God, to the plan of God. So I'm just living in the consciousness of God, being saturated with his word. And so he says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust. Now, here's a good way to sort of determine where we're at. We have to ask ourselves questions sometimes. We have to ask ourselves this question. How am I different today than I was before I was a believer? What am I doing today that is distinct from what I used to do before I was saved? Now, some people, there's an obvious distinction. Their life is radically transformed. Some people had at one time in their lives an obvious distinction. There was initially a radical transformation, but they've sort of drifted back into some of the old ways. And quite honestly, there are many Christians today who, if you were to look at their lives and just by observation alone, not by listening to anything they said or what they told you, but just strictly by observation alone, you would never, ever guess that they were Christians. They're no different than the people they live next door to. They're no different than the people they work with. They're just the same as everybody else. They do the same things that everybody else does. But the one difference is simply that they go to church once in a while. Now, that is not Christianity. That is religion. And that's not what Jesus came into the world to establish. There was plenty of religion when he got here. He came to bring us into a relationship with God that transforms our lives, that changes us, that makes us into new people. You see, that's what the whole born-again thing is all about. It's about being a new person, not about being the same old person who just goes to church now. So as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust. The former lust, the way we used to live. I think you could divide all that's under this heading of the former lust. You could divide it up into four categories. And I think really under these four categories, everything falls under one or the other. What do people live for? Well, some people live for power. Their life is driven by a desire for power. And that's what drives you. That's the passion of your life. That's lust that he's talking about here. The former lust. Power is one thing. The desire for position, somewhat similar to power, but yet there is a difference. The desire for a reputation of some sort or another. And so that's what drives us. That's what keeps us going. That's what we're living for, to establish that position in life. And then, of course, some people are driven by possessions. The desire for money so that they can obtain more possessions. And so their whole life revolves around getting money to get possessions or getting possessions any other way they possibly can. But that's what they're living for. They're living for those things that they can obtain in life. And you see it all around us. You see people with more stuff than they could ever use in 10 lifetimes. But they're driven to accumulate more. And that's where their whole identity is. It's in like, look what I have. Look what I have amassed to myself. And then there's pleasure. And oh, how many things fall under this one category of pleasure. Just doing what feels good. Just pleasing myself. Just because it feels good, I'm going to do it and I'm going to live for it. These are the kinds of things that people are living for. These are the kinds of things that we were living for. This is what I was doing before I became a Christian. I was living for power to some degree. I'd like to have power over people. I certainly didn't want them to have power over me. I want to tell them what to do. I didn't want them telling me what to do. And although my sphere of influence was relatively small, I had a few people that I could control. That was good. And then, of course, there was position. I wanted to have recognition as, you know, I was the person that did this or that or whatever it was. And I liked it when people, you know, would say, oh, he's this or he does that. And, you know, that made me feel good. That was something that was really important to me. Possessions, well, yeah, I was guilty there too. Didn't get many, but I sure wanted them. But pleasure, well, that for me was probably the bottom line. I was living for what could please me, what I enjoyed. And I didn't care about anybody else. I didn't care who I hurt in the process. Even if they were people that really cared about me, I didn't really care. Because if it interfered with my pleasure, then, well, forget them. I'm going to do my thing. And if they suffer for it, that's not my problem. You see, that's the former lust that he's talking about here. And I want you to notice that they are to be former. Again, we're not to be the same people that we used to be. God has called us to a different life. And the wonderful thing is he's not simply called us to a different life, but he's actually given us the power to live now a new life. And he goes on and he says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. So God has called us to holiness because he himself is holy. Back up just really quickly for 1 second, though. And I want you to notice, too, when he talks about the former lust, he says, you did it in your ignorance. And to a large degree, yes, you know, we do it in ignorance. Everyone has a sense that what they're doing is wrong. But there is also a definite ignorance that's there as well. But you see, the person who goes back to their former lust no longer does it in ignorance. And that makes the situation even worse. I could plead ignorance to some degree before because I was lost. I was dead in my sin. I was blind. I didn't really know what God required of me totally and completely. So on a few things, I could have said, well, Lord, I just didn't know that I wasn't supposed to do that. I could plead a bit of ignorance. But if I go back to those things as a Christian, then I have no plea of ignorance to put forth because I'm going back to something I know that I'm not to be involved in. So God has called us to a new life of holiness. And he says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, I want to give you a couple of quotes on holiness. First of all, on the holiness of God. And this is a great statement on the subject. Seems to me that it might be the best one I've ever read. It says, holiness is the totality of the divine attributes, the sum of the eternal and infinite being, the essence of deity, the chord made by the harmonious blending of divine qualities, the beam woven from the many colors of divine perfection, the expression in a single term of all that goes to make up the moral nature of the great spirit whom we call God. Holiness. It's that divine perfection. And now, God is calling us to be holy. You see, Peter refers to us as children. And we are children of God if we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You see, this is the wonderful thing. God has called us to be holy, and that's not an unreasonable request because he's instilled within us his very own nature, which is holy. Now, the demand to be holy without the capacity for holiness, that is a great difficulty. I can't be holy on my own. I don't have the capacity for it because I'm a sinner. Because I'm unholy by nature. I'm unholy by nature, therefore I cannot be holy in and of myself. But God calls me to be holy. But he calls me to be holy because he has made me his child. You see, that goes back to the very first thing that Peter was talking about. He was glorifying God for this new birth that he's given to us. And I want to emphasize that over again. That's what the Christian life is really all about. It's about a new birth. It's about the life of God coming and living in us. It's not about me conforming to a list of rules. It's not about me looking at certain things and saying those are bad things and I'm not going to do them and therefore I'm going to be a Christian. It doesn't work that way. I can decide not to do bad things, but that doesn't make me a Christian. The only thing that can make me a Christian is a miracle of God. God himself coming in and taking up residence in my life and giving me a new life, placing his nature within me. And that's what happens when a person believes in Jesus. That's what happened to these people. That's why Peter is writing to him and he says, as obedient children, see, you're the children of God now. And because you're the children of God, you now have the capacity to do what God is calling you to do. You didn't have that capacity before, but now you have it. And so it's not an unreasonable request for you to be holy because you now partake of the divine nature. And when Peter wrote his second epistle, he reminded the readers of that very fact that they had become partakers of the divine nature. You know what happened to me 20-something years ago? God took up residence in my life. That's why my life changed. It wasn't because I decided that my life was lousy and I'm going to make it better. I did realize that, and I did for a brief amount of time try to make it better, but it didn't work. I tried hard for a while, but I got tired of trying and I gave up. I didn't realize that God was wanting to move into my life and do it for me. I was thinking I had to do it myself. But when I came to that realization, God took up residence in me. That's what's happened to you as well. You've become partakers of the divine nature. You now have the very life of God in you, living in you. And therefore, God can say, be holy as I am holy. You can be holy because the holy God dwells in you and he will give you the power to be holy. None of us can acquire holiness apart from God. Know that. Listen to this. We're talking about holiness. Holiness is being like God. The question arises, well, how can I be more holy? Now, there's two aspects to holiness. There's what's called a positional aspect, and there's then the practical aspect. All of us positionally are holy before God. Because as someone who believes in Jesus Christ, I am in Christ. And when God looks at me, he sees Jesus and Jesus is perfectly holy. So I'm seen as perfectly holy by God. That's my positional holiness. But there's a practical holiness and that's the holiness that you see. That's the holiness that I see in your life. And I can't improve on my positional holiness. It's impossible because it's perfect. Because it's the holiness, it's the righteousness of Jesus. But I can improve my practical holiness. I can grow practically in what I am positionally, and you can observe my progress in holiness. Now the question is, how do we grow in holiness? How do we become more like the Lord externally? Listen to this. We are holy up to the measure in which we are God-possessed. The least holy man is he who shuts God up to the strictest confinement and to the narrowest limits of his inner being, partitioning him off from daily life by heavy curtains of neglect and unbelief. If I neglect all that God has provided for me, if I neglect the fellowship, if I neglect the prayer access, if I neglect the Word of God, then I will not grow in holiness. I shut God out of my life in that practical sense, and he's not able to bring me along and make me more and more into the person that he wants me to be. Moving on, he is holier, or she, who more carefully denies self and who seeks a larger measure of divine dwelling. You see, this is what I was saying earlier. We can't become the people that God wants us to be by just sitting around doing nothing, hoping that it will happen. There has to be effort put forth. There has to be something on my part that I'm doing. I have to exercise myself to godliness. That's the term the Bible uses. Peter, in his second letter, we'll get to that at some point in time, but he talks about faith and how that's the entrance into the life of God. It's by faith that we're saved, by grace through faith. I become a Christian by believing that Jesus died in my place, that he rose again on my behalf. But then Peter says, now add to your faith. And he goes through a list of things that we're to add to our faith. Add virtue and knowledge and self-control and brotherly kindness and love. And he says, if these things are yours and they abound, you will never be barren or unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he who has neglected these things, they've forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. And so over and over again, the Bible tells us that we must put forth an effort to grow to become the people that God wants us to be. And that's what F.B. Meyer says here. That's who I'm quoting from. He or she is holier who more carefully denies self and who seeks a larger measure of divine indwelling. You know what? You can be as holy as you want to be. That's really what the Bible teaches. If you want to be holy and you demonstrate that desire by giving yourself over to God more and more, then you'll become holier and holier. The holiest man is the one who yields himself most completely to be influenced, swayed, possessed, inspired by that Spirit who longs to make us to the fullest extent partakers of the divine nature. So that's how we grow in holiness, by just yielding ourselves completely to be influenced, swayed, possessed, inspired by the Spirit. I love that. Now, in closing, holiness is to the soul what health is to the body. You know, when you think about holiness, you can conjure up a lot of interesting pictures in your mind. For some people, holiness is purely an external thing. It all has to do with the way you dress. It all has to do with the places you frequent and those kinds of things. There's a very small element of truth in that. The Bible does talk about dressing modestly and so forth. And a person who goes about consistently immodestly would need to grow in holiness. There definitely are certain places that are more conducive to growing in holiness than other places. So, you know, there's a small element of truth in that. But so often that's where the greatest amount of concentration is, on the externals. But holiness is a condition of the soul. It's a condition of the spirit. You know, when you look at a person who's physically healthy, there's just something about their life. There's a vivaciousness. There's something attractive about their life. They're just, it's life. And it's great. And it's whole. And you look at it and you think, oh, that's great. And I look at it and think, I wish I could be healthy like that. But you see, that's what we're talking about. But we're talking not about the body. We're talking about the soul. We're talking about the spirit. We're talking about a spiritual wholeness or health that just manifests itself in a life that is right. Everything about the life is right. The thinking is right. The desires are right. The attitudes are right. The behavior is right. It's just, here's a life that's right. That's what the holy life is. It's a life that's consistent with God. And that life is what he's calling us to. But we've got to go back and we've got to remember that we'll never get there unless we gird up the loins of our mind. We'll never get there if we're flippant, if we're trite, if we're careless mentally and spiritually about the things of the Spirit. We'll never get there unless we fix our hope upon the grace of God. We'll never get there if we're being conformed to the former lust. But we will get there as we yield ourselves over to God more and more and more. As we just give him every part of our life and just say, God, take it all. I want to be the person that God wants me to be. That to me is the ultimate goal. God saved me with something in his mind. And I want to be what God has in his mind for me to be. And what I have to do in order to get there is to yield myself to him. God saved you as well with something in his mind. He wants to make you into somebody special. He wants to make you who you are with your personality and everything else. He wants to make you into the image of his son. And all you need to do is gird up the loins of your mind and fix your hope on the grace of God. Yield yourself over to Him, and He will accomplish in you what He desires, and you will be one happy person. I can guarantee that.
We'll return with more of our study of 1 Peter in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Living with Purpose. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Holiness of Mind. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3041. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.